So we are doing Psalm 103. I heard or got a note some time ago, Pastor Dylan, saying that you're working through the Psalms, and I could choose whatever Psalm that I wanted to do that within a number. And so I chose Psalm 103. Now, maybe you've already done Psalm 103. If not, we're doing Psalm 103 today. It is about a lifestyle of praising God, a lifestyle of blessing God. So in the King James Version, the word is, bless the Lord, O my soul. In the New International, it's praise the Lord, O my soul. It still does the same thing. Matter of fact, in my devotions, when I was doing devotions, I went online because there is a Wesleyan devotional site. I don't know if anybody does that. Anybody? Dan does that. I have to send the link to Leslie because you'll need to. It's interesting. Today, did you read today's, Dan? Today is by Bob Black. He's a professor in Southern Wesleyan University. And it was about John Wesley, and the last words that he spoke was related to Psalm 103. Now, I don't know if how fitting you can get about that. I was like, I'm reading, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is really interesting. I'm preaching on that today, and I read it this morning. And the last words out of his mouth was about praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but you and I, God intends for us to have that kind of life. And we're going to talk about that, share about that this morning. And it is so important that in what we do and what we say, it's about how we reach the people around in our community. And you've already mentioned, hi, Phil. Stay awake today, okay, Phil? He always picks on me, so I'm going to pick on him a little bit. Anyway, so things. But anyway, so it is so important for us to reach the people in our community. And I didn't want you to forget that because it is so important for us to realize that within 7 miles, the next slide talks about how many people live within 7 miles of your community, 6,881 people. Every one of them are important. Now, I don't think you can get 6,881 people within this church. But what is important is one at a time. And so there are many kids. So there's 4,810 people, according to the ARDA and the 2020 census, that have no religious adherence. There's no connection to religion that will live within 7 miles. And maybe they're like the people that they were talking about in the movie. Every person is important. And so I want you to realize that as we bless the Lord, as we live a lifestyle of praise to God, we never know who that is going to touch, what life will be transformed. And so I want us to think about that this morning as we think about and pray about God's message to us and about reaching the people in our community. So it's about bless the Lord. So how many times do you think bless the Lord or praise the Lord is in the Bible? Have you thought about that? How many times do you think it is? In this portion of Scripture, we know it's a few. There's a few. 187 times, praise the Lord or bless the Lord is in the Bible, which emphasizes to us the importance of telling the good news and about praising God. And from the very beginning to the very end, we talk about praise the Lord. Now, sometimes people have a little bit of a difficulty in knowing about blessing, things like that. I love the story about the kindergarten teacher, and I know we have kindergarten teachers. Sherry's a kindergarten. I don't know if anybody else teaches kindergarten, but this particular kindergarten teacher, and I don't know if they do it anymore, but she always taught the Pledge of Allegiance. That was one of the first things that she was teaching the kids. And so on the first day of school, she had all the kids stand. She said, I'm going to teach you the Pledge of Allegiance. And so as she shared, she said, I want you all to put your hand, your right hand over your heart, because that's how we begin. And so as she looked around and she's just checking out all the kids, there was one little girl, Susie, had her hand right down on her butt cheek. And so the teacher didn't want to embarrass her. She said again real slowly, now I want you all to put your hand over your heart. And she noticed that little Susie still had her hand down here. She said, Susie, do you not know where your heart is? Yeah, I know where my heart is. Then why do you have your hand over there of your butt cheek? She said, because every time I go to my grandma's, when I'm leaving, she says, bless your little heart. So anyway. So you didn't think that was funny, Sherry? So I think it is so important for us to about being a blessing and to bless the Lord. And it needs to be a lifestyle of blessing. And so we're going to read again the scriptures from Psalm 103. And we're going to read them in both versions, just Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2, and verses 21 and 22. I'd like us to read it together. So if we'll go to the next slide, this is the King James Version. So let's read this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places, all in his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then, as was read already this morning, we're going to read it in the NIV. Praise the Lord, my soul, in all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Now, I don't know about you, but we should get that sense. We should be praising God wherever we go. And as we read the Psalms, and as you're working through that, you'll find often that it talks about those kind of messages. Now, we've had all kinds of lifestyles that have taken place in the last century, and there's going to be a picture up here that does that. It talks about all the different lifestyles that had happened. Now, I know I'm getting older, but I don't remember all of these lifestyles. I want you to know. I don't think anybody's here that's 1920s. But anyway, my mother was born in 1929. She's 96, but she doesn't remember much about this. But anyway, so the 1920s, when we think about significant lifestyles, the jazz age and flappers, it was a time of rebellion in the 1920s. The 1930s was the Great Depression and survival. Frugality and resilience define this area. In the 40s, wartime and post-wartime boom, rationing during World War II, followed by economic prosperity. In the 50s, the rise of suburbia, the idealized nuclear family, consumerism began and still continues, and the birth of rock and roll. In the 60s, we're talking about lifestyles of people. Counterculture and civil rights, hippies and protests. Now, some of us remember those days, right? Back in the 60s. And a push for equality and social change. In the 70s, disco and individualism. A mix of self-expression, environmental awareness, and technological advancements. In the 80s, materialism and tech boom. The rise of personal computers and flashy fashion and corporate culture. In the 90s, grunge and digital beginnings. I never did like grunge anyway, but I see kids still wearing grunge. A shift toward casual fashion, alternative music, and the internet revolution. In the 2000s, social media and globalization. Connectivity through platforms like Facebook and fast fashion and digital entertainment. And then in the 10s, wellness and sustainability. A focus on mental health and eco-conscious living and minimalist style lifestyles. All of these are lifestyles, and some of us have lived through a lot of those. Culture modifies and changes through time. But the lifestyle of blessing God It comes with that relationship with Jesus Christ as we know him as our Lord and Savior, and should be part of our walk with God, and only change so that we give more praise to God as we mature in our walk with God. It's all right to say amen. Don't you believe that? I believe it needs to be a part of our lifestyle, and we need to be adding that and living out those kinds. Why should that be a part of our lifestyle? Because God calls us to that. In Compelling Truth, it says a website, what does the Bible say about that? It says in Compelling Truth that the Hebrew word we find for blessing is barak, B-A-R-A-K. And it's a message of giving praise to God, and it's kind of interesting. Back when we were doing youth conventions, we used to have the Soul Children of Chicago. Now, I don't know if you remember Walt Whitman and the Soul Children of Chicago, if any of you that went to the youth conventions back in the 80s, but we had them come and sing in 1992. And the song that they sang was Barak, B-A-R-A-K. You can find it on the website. And it was a powerful message of all these students singing about praise to God. And that's what that message is in the Old Testament. It's about a divine favor in alignment with God's will and finding blessing. In the New Testament, the Greek word is eulogio, and it reflects God's grace and God's blessing upon us, and for us as Christians to take heart of knowing God and living out God's goodness. So as we go, where we go, our life evidences that God has changed us and transformed us. So I want us to think about these five thoughts about bless the Lord, O my soul. One, God is blessed because he is eternal. I know that's hard for us to grasp, but this implied message of the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul. It is a message that we understand that God is eternal. We need, as we read through the Psalms and God's word, the reference about God being eternal from beginning to ending. In Daniel 2:20, it says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. In many places, there's a message of man-made gods, little g. Gods that are made of material substances and gold and wood and ivory, stone, marble, gemstones, and probably even 3D printing today. You could have gods. There's a couple of scriptures when you're reading them, and I've been reading through the scriptures, and when you get into Isaiah, there's been a clear message that Isaiah was talking about men and women creating gods. And then in Jeremiah 10, there's also another reference to it. In Isaiah 44, it's called about the foolishness of idols. And I'm not going to read all of that portion of scripture, but as Isaiah is talking about, he said, now, does this make a lot of sense? There's a guy that will go out and he'll cut a piece of wood, a chunk of wood, and he'll take half of that wood and he'll carve out a face or some kind of thing, and then he'll worship that. He said, then he takes the other part of the wood and he takes it and he burns to make it so he can get warm or to cook his food. Now tell me if that makes a lot of sense, that you're worshiping the same piece of wood that you carved. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And so Isaiah and Jeremiah both talk about that. And in the world that we live in today, there are people that are worshiping false gods, individual things that are attracted to them. Maybe it's something in the lifestyle where we're living. Because sometimes it's hard to grasp who God is as an eternal God. It's hard for us to wrap our minds about something that is from beginning, from the Genesis that we read about, and before that, and God created, to the ending of time. It's hard for us to comprehend that. So sometimes people have to have something physical to worship, and they begin to do that. It becomes idols in the church. And we need to be careful, lest we find things that we idolize, even now. In the church, sometimes, And when you look around, sometimes you'll find people wearing a cross, right? You watch TV, the ESPYs just happened not too long ago, and sometimes people wear a cross, and up there you're thinking, well, for what reason? What are they wearing a cross for? Are they just identifying and worshiping the cross, and that becomes symbolic of that? And we need to be careful that we don't worship those kind of things. It's not our responsibility to understand the complexity of eternity. Our responsibility is to trust God and have faith. It is not our responsibility to understand the complexity of eternity. Our responsibility is to trust God and have faith. Deuteronomy 30, 16 says, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." It is about a lifestyle of blessing God. In Psalm 68, 35, "Oh God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God." God is blessed because he is eternal. Secondly, God is blessed because it is a personal expression. The psalm says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." It becomes personal. It's about my relationship with God, my walk with God. It's a personalization of a message of being in a lifestyle that follows God. And God desires for that. I'm so glad that God desired to personalize his relationship with mankind. Because he cares about every one of us. Psalm 119:1 says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." It is God's plan for us to walk with him and to personalize this relationship. In 1 Peter 1:3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God is blessed, and we are blessed because we have this personal experience and relationship. The psalmist in Psalm 103 is read this morning. It talks about Moses in there. And Moses was a man who struggled listening to God. Moses tried to get his brother to do the leading. Moses faced disturbing times, and at one time, there was unfaithfulness that came because he was angry against God and the people. So we're not to forget that Moses was a criminal. He was rejected from his adopted family. He had to flee or be put to death. Had this burning bush experience where God spoke to him. He tries to find a reason to not listen. He discovered the need to listen to others. Even his father-in-law Jethro, he listened to. He was upset at times, and at one time had a temper tantrum that caused God to deny him the entrance into the Holy Land. You read Moses' story, and you find out so much that God was interested in that personal relationship. He was interested in Moses. It was a personal message, a personal relationship. Every one of us has a story. I would pray that our story is about blessing and praising God, that it is bless the Lord or praise the Lord, oh my soul. Thirdly, God is blessed because it is a soul experience. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's about the depth of our heart. We've heard people say that they found their soul partner or their soul mate. You ever hear anybody say that before? I don't want to downplay the importance of a soul mate or soul partner. Denise and I started out as our soul mate relationship on February 11th, 1973. As of today, we've been together 19,153 days. But who's counting? or 52 years, 5 months, and 10 days since that February 11th day. It's pretty amazing when you think about how long she's endured my tantalizing expressions and all that kind of life stuff that I've given her. I'm sure if you ask her while I'm listening, she will say that our life has been filled with joy, love, faithfulness, and commitment. She'll say that. And for the most part, I have listened to her too. So, well, maybe sometimes, right? Yeah. The soul, and having a soulmate is important. But having a soul relationship with God is about being committed to God in this personal way. It's about the depth of our being given over to God. So from the depth of our soul, there is praise to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16, it says, "For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, his decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." We can have all kinds of things. We can have money. We can have time and talent and desires and decisions. All of those things need to be a part of our soul relationship. And in this journey as we follow to God, and we give those things to God to follow him in this lifestyle of living praise. Fourth, God is blessed because he's not dependent upon the environment. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places, in all times of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God is beyond all the things that we understand about our environment. In Proverbs 21:2, it says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." We know that the environment is great. I love living in Michigan. I want you to know that. I know there's a sign on the back of Pastor Dylan's thing that talks about Ohio being beautiful, but anyway, we can pray for all of those Ohioans and things like that. But there's beauty in every state, I want to say that. But there's people that are trying to work out the environment. The other day I was reading about a group of people who are living, I think it's in Utah, and they're preparing for life on Mars. Have you read that story? It's pretty interesting. They made a 3-year commitment to live in this situation that is supposed to be like Mars. And they're trying to do that in that particular environment. And then also, the largest camera that's ever been built is being released that can see sensational pictures from the galaxy and beyond. But our God is greater than all of those things. And we can bless the Lord all our being. We can praise the Lord all our being because God is beyond all of the environment. Our environment is truly unstable. Earthquakes and flooding, and I know our hearts have been broken about what's taking place in Texas. That is just so unimaginable. Tornadoes and hurricanes and blizzards and hot, hot weather. Denise and I have exchange daughter in Uzbekistan, and so we're looking at the weather in Tashkent. The lowest high this week is 103 degrees. So it's between 103 and 108. Now that's hot, hot weather. We've had the opportunity to be there a couple times. Or extreme cold, or all those kind of things we're aware of. God is God and not bound by any of those things. And we are subjected as we live in our environment and maybe restricted at times. But God is way beyond anything that the environment has to offer. It's great to be able to experience the beauty of their state of Michigan or any other particular states. I've had the privilege of being in 49 states and more than 20 countries, and there's beauty in all of them. But there's something special about where we live and the importance of those and things like that. God is so much more than our environment, but he gave us the beauty of the environment to enjoy and to live with. And we can say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," because God is beyond all of the environment, no matter how beautiful it is, God's way is greater and more beautiful. God is blessed, fifth, because he is enrichment to us. Blessing the Lord is about forget not all his benefits. In Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last psalm states that. In Psalm 68, 35, it says, oh God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. There's a deep enrichment in our soul, in our core being, when we're praising God at all times. And it's so important that people recognize our desire to praise God. When I was in college, I had the opportunity, I went to a small college called John Wesley College or Wausau College, and it was in that transition time of the Wesleyan Church, and so they started a soccer program. I want you to know, I was not raised understanding anything about soccer, but they needed people on the field, and so so I was asked to play soccer. So I started playing soccer and started doing all that sort of thing. And one of the great things is you have this connectivity with your teammates and like that. And one of the guys that was on our team, his name was Ron Glotzner. And Ron Glotzner was from Flint. And he came to know Jesus Christ out of a life of drugs and drug dealing and all that sort of thing. And he was transformed in his life. And so Ron was a part of our team. And Ron was a wild man. I mean, he was a young guy that was just, he could run all over the place. You know, he's supposed to be playing position or primarily position where Ron played every position, I think. But anyway, we called him Hallelujah Ron. Because Ron Glotzner, when you were on the field, you could hear him saying, praise God, hallelujah. And he'd be running and he would steal the ball from somebody. And I don't think that person was saying hallelujah, but, or kick the ball. And he would come down the field and you could hear him coming through because he'd be praising God his whole life. How are we recognized in our life? What is it that sets us apart from maybe some of the other people? What do we want to be remembered by? A depressed person rarely praising God, or as a person who lives out and speaks the name of Jesus as one deeply filled and deeply loved because we give praise to God? We get our spiritual tanks filled when we praise God and when we come and sing worship songs and messages like that that kind of fill our heart. And even as we sing, and as I began preparing this sermon several weeks ago, and just reading, bless the Lord, O my soul, or praise the Lord, that has continually spoke to me all of this time. We think of the old song, bless the Lord, O my soul. A week ago, I was doing a Zoom meeting for Dirt Roads Network, and one of the guys that was sharing was talking about a meeting that he had after a camp, I think it was a district conference session, and he had some people that he joined together, and they made this decision that they were going to meet at Texas Roadhouse, which sounds pretty good. The problem was, if you know anything about Texas Roadhouse, every person in your party needs to be there before you get seated, right? Did you know that? That's a rule that they have. So they were waiting, and some people kept on calling and said, we're going to be late. We're going to be late. So they told the hostess and the person, we're going to be late. So over 30 minutes past the time when they were supposed to be there, they finally showed up. So they got seated, and the decision was that they would be as kind and considerate and grateful and thankful to the server. And so they did that. And the server, when they were all done, said, thank you for being so kind to me and generous. And as they were walking out, the gal that set up the meeting for them, she was there. And so the guy in charge, he said, I just want you to know, you are an incredible person. They said, what? You're an incredible? I'm an incredible? Yeah, you're incredible. You put up with us and waited for us and set it all up, and you're just an incredible person. That just kind of threw her off. And she said, well, why am I incredible? He said, because of how you cared for us. And I want you to know God cares about you. She's like, well, really? And so they were so positive, and she began to talk about it. And then he began to ask questions about her life and things like that. And while they're standing there and people are waiting, and then he said, would it be all right if I prayed for you? She said, you can pray for me. So they stopped, and he prayed for her. There are people that were waiting, and she listened, and she was allowing God to speak to her, and she was evident of their lifestyle of praising God and blessing God. And that needs to be for like us. Several years ago, Denise and I, we were doing district superintendency stuff, went to Walkerville Wesleyan Church. Now, Walkerville's not... Matter of fact, we're supposed to be going there for this afternoon for a 90th birthday party and a 69th anniversary of a couple. But anyway, so we're at Walkerville, and I met with the board after church, and then it gets to be late. And so we were walking into the restaurant about 1:30 or 2 o'clock into Hesperia. Had a really nice restaurant, Daniel's. So we walk in, and the gal that greeted us, who we knew, she looked like somebody kind of run over her with a Mack truck kind of a look, you know. Said to her, well, we got rid of the church crowd, but we hope, whoa. I said, well, we're part of the church crowd, but we hope we'll make your time worthwhile. And it is so important that you and I have this lifestyle of living for God. And we have the opportunity and the privilege to make a difference. And we have all of the kind of things that God gives us an opportunity to. When I was a young pastor, I'd visit the Oceana Medical Care Facility. And there were two ladies that were living in there that moved in together when they opened the facility. I called them Grandma Heim and Grandma Heeg. I think that when they moved in there, they were in their 80s. And when I got to know them, they were in their late 90s. Grandma Heeg died at 107, and Grandma Heim died at 105. And these ladies, when you would go into the room, they were so much about praising God and living in the present. When you left, you felt like you were lifted up. They gave you encouragement and praise. I had the opportunity of having Grandma Heim's funeral, and she asked me as a young pastor, she said, I want you to do my funeral. And I said, Grandma Heim, I'm not your pastor. Your pastor is a pastor of another church. And she said, I already told my family, you're going to do my funeral. I said, okay. And so I said, well, you know your pastor. And she said, well, my pastor is senile. And so, and I ended up having her funeral, a glorious praise to God service. About 7 years ago, I was preaching at Walkerville, and there's a couple of later ladies that were in their 80s, and I said something to them and hi to them, and then after being gone for so many years, I told the story about Grandma Heim and having her worship or her funeral service celebration of life and things like that, and how privileged I was. And as we were leaving, I had these two ladies come up to me. She said, Pastor Tom, I want you to know, we are Grandma Heim's granddaughters. We don't attend this church. We just decided to come today. And I had the privilege to talk to them and share with them. Thank you for telling us about our grandmother who we loved. Well, listen, you and I, we need to be living a lifestyle of praise. And I love the words, praise the Lord, O my soul. Let it be a part of us. Discouraged, depressed, downhearted, defeated, definitely feeling downtrodden. Start living out a lifestyle of praise, blessing of God. It will transform our day and transform our life. So how do we live a lifestyle of praise? These things, know God personally, know Him as Lord and Savior, Read God's word, just as Darren mentioned today. Pray. Let praise flow from your heart and mouth. Stay away from negative people. And six, let the Holy Spirit fill your life with goodness and with praise. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Psalm 150. Today is the day to bless and praise the Lord, O my soul. Let it be a lifestyle of praise, because that's what God calls us to. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Father, thank you that we can live a lifestyle of praise, obedience to you. I pray, Father, that it'll be more than just words, just as we've already prayed about, the songs that we've sung, the messages of your word. I pray that we'd have a lifestyle of praise, and that God, this week, those 6,811 people who live within 7 miles, may God, be in contact with many of them. I pray for the Vacation Bible School and movie night, the celebration of Christmas in July, and all of the activities and involvements with Pastor Dylan and his family too. And God, let us be Dighton Wesleyan Church as members and friends. Let us live a lifestyle of praise. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.